What's happening? What's happening? What's going on? Hope everybody having a good day, man. Hope everybody having a blessed day. You're tuned in to KJV Biblecast. I'm your host, Brother Shane. What I want to do on today's broadcast is I want to do something that I've done already before, but I want to put it on this podcast that I have now. Is what I want to do is I want to go through the book of John and do a study on the book of John. First off, we're just going to go ahead and get right into it. We're going to read John 1 through 18. John 1 through 18. If you have a Bible, if you would, open up your Bibles, because a lot of people's teaching stuff that is contrary to the Bible. And what we want to do is we want to make sure what we're reading and what we're studying and what we believe is actually found in the pages of the Bible. So if you would, please open up your Bible. And when I'm saying Bible, I'm actually talking about the Holy Bible, which is the authorized King James Version. And there's a reason for that. And we will get into that more as I do these broadcasts. We'll get into more of that. But what we want to do is first, I want to take a look here and take a look and do probably around 50 studies on the book of John, because I feel like when a person gets saved, I feel like one of the first books that they should, you know, they should read and study is the book of John. So I feel like that's what we should do. So if you would just open up the Bible to John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 18. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Verse number 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So that is verses 1 through 19. We actually read one verse over. Now, what this is going to be a Bible, a lesson. It's an introduction to about, I say, give or take around 50 lessons. We will all see the story, the fundamental principles, the doctrines of our faith, and we will mine out the gemstones along with the deep things of God. Now, one thing about John, if you notice about John, if you read, study, John is such a remarkable book. To me, John is a remarkable book because what John does in the book of John presents Jesus Christ as God. That's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what separates Christianity from all other religions. We don't believe that Jesus is a good prophet. We believe that Jesus Christ is actually God manifest in a body of flesh, like the Authorized King James Version teaches. We believe that and we stand on that. He's not a good religious person. Even though he was a good person can't save you. The baby in the manger can't save you. Only Jesus, that is God, can save a person from their sin. And that's the remarkable thing about the Bible, as we see in the book of John, that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. That's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us in four gospels, four different looks at the same person. And you see different things in the different gospels. Now, it don't mean that there are four different people. It does not mean that there is any disagreement between the writers. It simply means that we're looking at the same person from four distant and four particular viewpoints. Kind of like if you had an accident take place at a red light, right? So you got four corners. And they went around and they took the report of them people. Everybody is not going to give the exact same details, right? They're going to give it from their viewpoint. That's how it is in the gospel. In Matthew, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. In the parables, in the miracles, in the events of Matthew, all have to do with the throne in Jerusalem and Jesus sitting upon that throne. And as you look in Mark, he is a servant. And Mark centers upon works and deeds and actions and miracles and very little about the word of Jesus in Mark. More about the works of Jesus. Then what we have Luke. Now, Luke is a book that talks about the humanity of Christ. It talks about his compassion and his love and his hands-on approach to meeting people. But in John, Jesus Christ is God. And it's just so powerful and just so striking. I want you to look here, if you have your Bibles, look in John chapter number 1, verse number 1. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Notice the capital W. You see the capital W? In the beginning was the Word. Very important that you notice that. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's no manger here. There is no Virgin Mary. There are no shepherds here. There are no wise men. There's no Herod. There's no forerunner. John the Baptist, he comes later. The thing starts out with the Word predating the beginning. You see, it starts out with the Word predating the beginning. Look at the statement, in the beginning was. How can there be a past tense and reference to the beginning? You see that, right? How can there be a past tense and reference to the beginning? That's amazing. He predates dates. He exists before anything exists. The Word has no beginning. You see that, right? Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to turn to John chapter number 17, John chapter number 17, and we'll take a look at John chapter number 17, verse number 5. John chapter number 17, verse number 5. The Bible says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was, what was there? What you have He's saying here, glorify me with the glory that I had, which I had with thee before the world was. The Father and the Son and glory together. Look, let me just say this. Glory is not a place. I know we want to think of glory as being a place, and we've been taught that, but according to the Bible, glory is not a place. It's a condition. Okay? Glory is a condition. They are in glory together before the world was. Look in 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. The word of God says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life. Now, I want you to notice one thing about this scripture right here. Do you see where the capital W is showing up there again? They saw, they looked, they handled that which was from the beginning. See, listen to me, friend. When the beginning took place, he was. He is in past tense at creation. He is the creator. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4. The word of God says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, look at this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, so this is a passage that gets people messed up. So before the foundation of the world, what we have here is we have God the Father and we have God the Son were in glory. They was in their glory. And they had what they did was they made a choice, right? They made a choice before the foundation of the world. God the Father and God the Son were in glory, in their glory, and they made a choice before the foundation of the world that those that they have created would be with them in glory, in that glory. You see that? And that's really what the book of John is all about, okay? That prayer that you read in John chapter number 17 where it says, Father, glorify them with the glory which I had before glorify them with the glory which we had before the foundation of the world, that they can be one in us and we could be one in them and we can dwell together in glory. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son, their plan, listen, God's plan was not to build mountains and rivers and lakes and streams. That was just a place to live. You know what God's plan is? His plan was that God and man, me and you, us, specks of dust. His plan was that God and man should enjoy a glorious relationship. That was his plan. That was God's plan, okay? Turn to Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 23 and 26. Proverbs chapter number 8, verses number 23 and 26. The Bible says, and I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, and there was no foundations abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the high parts of the dust of the world. Verses number 27 through 30. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundation of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So it is the Father and the Son here enjoying their power to create and doing so together. And in Psalm 90, you see where we're going. In Psalm 90, where we are going, we will work on this all the way down to verse 3. But John is writing about the one who created all things, who is going to die on a cross to save us from our sins. And the servant of Jehovah dies in Mark, and the greatest man that ever lived died in Luke for sinners. The king of the Jews, of the chosen people, died in Matthew. All that is great. But the beginning, the Word, the Creator, you mean to tell me he's going to die for me? The Creator, the Word, is going to die for me. Let me tell you something about that, friend. To me, that is amazing that the Creator of the universe would come to this earth and die for specks of dust like us, for us. That's mind-boggling to me. And really, how do we even put that into words? How can we grasp that? You know what the Holy Spirit is using John to say? The Holy Spirit is using John to say, get a look at who we are talking about here. Before we talk about the miracles, before we talk about the beating, before we talk about the sacrifices, before we talk about the resurrection, look at who we are talking about. This is the one that made all things coming into this world. Amazing. Psalm chapter number 90, verse number 2, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Let me tell you something. He did not become God. Before there was mountains, before there was hills, before there was rivers, before there was streams, before there was anything to conquer, before there was anything to govern, he was already God, and he created and he made all things. Evolution is a lie. Charles Darwin is a lie. God created all things. And this truth is in John 1:1. Look in John 1:1. It's also in verse number 14. And what this does, let me tell you something. What this does here, John 1:1 and John 1:14, what it does, it separates Christianity from all these false religions and all these false cults that's out here in this world today. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator, not just a good person. We believe he was God, Almighty from the beginning. And the rest of them do not. That's the difference. You want to know what's the difference between Bible-believing Christians You want to know what's the difference? And listen, I'm talking about you could be sitting in a church house right now and still be lost and on your way to hell. You could be a Mormon. You could be a Jehovah's Witness. You could be a Catholic. You could be a Baptist. You can be a Methodist. You can be a Presbyterian. You can be a Muslim. You can be somebody that just believes that they're a good person, and you're under the wrath of God right now. If you was to die, you would have to pay for it according to the Bible, because you would not trust Jesus as your Savior and let Him be your substitute for your sin. And only Jesus as God, 100% God and 100% man, die for your sins and pay for your sins. And we believe that He's God. And they don't believe that He's God. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And He says that in Revelation 1:11. Look at your cross reference. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now look in verse number 8. The word of God says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending." He is saying it begins with me. He is not saying I was the first thing that was created. He is saying that I am the instigator of creation. There's no creation without me, because I predate the creation. I am back before the creation. Do you get that? That's what He's saying here in this verse. You talk about creation, I go way back before creation. I go back before it. That's what He's saying in this verse. Now, let's go back. Let's look at John 1:1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." Notice the capital W and the Word. Capital W was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Now, you cannot necessarily get the Trinity out of that verse, but you can certainly get an absolute statement that there's more than one person in the Godhead. I want you to take a look. The Word was, what does it say? With. The Word was. So the Word was with. The Word was. There is God and there's the Word. So who is God? They're not the same person. They're obviously a Father and a Son there. And we have the same in those verses that we read in John chapter number 17, Psalms chapter number 90, and Proverbs chapter number 8. There's a unity at work there. Genesis chapter number 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man." And Genesis 11:7 says, "God said, let us go down and see this tower and confound their language." And so you see the unity that's in John chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now, what I want you to do, if you in John 1, if you got a Bible with you, if you don't believe that Jesus is God and you just believe that He's a good teacher, you can certainly say that, but you cannot say the Bible don't teach that Jesus is God, because it definitely does. So the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What I want you to take a look, okay? In verse, anybody honest can see this. Look down in verse number 14. Listen, He's not just the Son, which He is the Son. He's the only begotten Son, but He is God manifested in a body of flesh, the invisible God made visible. Look at this. Look at verse number 14, John 1, 14. So we know the word is God, right? According to the Bible. Look down at verse number 14. The Bible says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, if you lay these two verses, lay them side by side, it establishes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ here. The creator who is the word was made flesh, and he took upon himself a body of flesh. He did not, listen to me, friend, he did not begin in Mary's womb. He did not begin when he was born at Bethlehem. There was not a God along with a God-like man or a person named Jesus. You understand that? Whoever that is in verse 1, there he is again in verse number 14 in a body of human flesh. You see that? It is the very same person. Now, something to keep in mind when you study your Bible, and your Bible, word capital W, is Jesus Christ. And word, the lowercase word, the small W, is the written scripture. If the reference is to the scripture, it has a small W. If the reference is to Jesus Christ, it has a capital W. You say, why? Because the capital W, it is his name. It's his title, okay? And I just have to throw this in here. Many of the new versions, even the newer Bibles, even the KJV, the editors, you got to be careful. They have changed the capitalization, and they make either both capitalized or they neither capitalized. And if your Bible is this way, you might want to look for another one that has it correctly, because you can bet if they've changed this word, they probably changed other words too. So here's the trouble with that, right? The world's philosophers, Plato, Philo, Origen, and there's some others, what they do is they teach this thing called, it's called the Logos, right? Have you ever seen it in the new Bibles, the modern Bibles? They say, in the beginning was the Logos. Now, listen to me. The idea of the Logos, right? The idea of the Logos is that this general thought or message or teaching of love and light and life, that general message, that is deity. Bet you didn't know that. Let me say that one more time, okay? The idea of the Logos is that this general thought or message or teaching of love and light and life, that general message, that is deity. And Jesus so embodied and so represented the message of the Logos that he took that name. Let me say this. If Jesus was not the creator, but this Spirit of God, Logos, that he took that name, right? If Jesus was not the creator, but this Spirit of God, whatever he is, whatever it is, was the creator, and that Spirit was in Jesus. So when you capitalize word, lowercase W-O-R-D, and you make it refer to the scriptures, you're deliberately or unintentionally giving credibility to that philosophy. The W-O-R-D, the lowercase, listen to me, it's not capitalized when it's referring what God said or what God taught. The word is capitalized when referring to God. God, who created, was manifest in the flesh. Now, I'm not saying that you should throw the book away, okay? I'm not saying throw the book away. If you see a scripture that's capitalized, when you see the word capitalized in a book in a reference to the scripture, that's a philosophy thing. That's not a Bible thing. I've always thought it was funny that these men would say, we're capitalizing word, lowercase W-O-R-D, when in reference to the scripture out of reverence for the scripture, yet in every other page, they are correcting the scripture. So where's the reverence here? Now, let's take a look at verse number 2. The same, the Bible says the same. So that is the word, the capital W, okay, was in the beginning with God. So he's emphasizing that. This is the same person that we're talking about all through here. All things were made by him, the Bible says. Now, that is not by God through Jesus is God, though Jesus is God. That is not by God, though Jesus is God, okay? All things were made by him. Who is him in verse number 2? The Bible, look at verse number 2. Who is him in verse number 2? The same that was in the beginning with God. So who is this? Who is this? Verse 1, the Word, who was God. So God, the Word, is the one who made all things. John 1, verse 1 to 3 makes it very clear. The Word, who was God and who was with God, is the one who made all things. And the reason I say that, because that's very important. Those hands, listen to me, the hands that was nailed to the cross are the hands that formed Adam in the garden. Those hands that were nailed to the cross are the ones that measured the ocean and the hollow and stretched out the expanse of the universe. What they were doing when they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, they was nailing their creator to a cross. And that's, mind in your mind cannot understand it. That's incomprehensible. Okay? The one that created is the one that laid down his life so you and I can have eternal life. Now, let me ask you something. Had your friends did that for you? Has your pastor did that for you? Has your church members did that for you? Has your gang did that for you? Has the people out in the street did that for you? Your creator did that for you so you can have eternal life and you can have fellowship with him and you can have life more abundantly. Your creator did that for you. Why not live for him? Why would we not live for Jesus after what he done? Look what the Bible says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, I just got to say it, okay? He did not do a part, and Vishnu did a part, or some deity over there did a part. Or Charles Darwin, he did a part. If it was made, friend, listen to me. If it was made, God made it. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter number 10 and chapter number 32 on this creation idea. What's so amazing about the Bible, it's consistency. The reason that I believe the Bible is because the Bible's consistency and also the prophecies. No mere human being can write this book. There's no possible way. So, Jeremiah chapter number 10 and Jeremiah chapter number 32 whatever, however you slice the Bible, it's going to support this same truth that God is the creator. The scriptures, they never waver or contradict that truth. Jeremiah chapter number 10, let's go ahead. Verses number 11 and 12. The word of God says, thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heaven and the earth. So you're calling yourself a god, and you're saying, talking about your god. Let me tell you something, friend. If it's not the God of the Bible, it's not the God of the scripture, if it's not Jesus Christ, look at this. He's saying the gods that you're calling yourself a god, you're really not a god, because Jesus makes plenty of reference in the Bible where he says, oh, so you're saying you're a god, but I look around, I don't see none where I'm at. So you've really made up a god, and you really made up an idol. And he's saying, the gods that have not made the heavens, your God didn't make the heavens and the earth. Look what the Bible says. Your God's going to perish. The God that you're serving that ain't Jesus Christ, whoever it may be, is going to perish. Look, the God that I have, the gods, this is the Bible, Jeremiah 10, 11 and 12. Let me start from the verse number 11. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He had made the earth by his power. He had established the world by his wisdom and had stretched out the heaven by his discretion. You know, there are other gods. I don't deny that. People, what they do is they worship these deities. People worship other gods. But I want you to notice something. According to the Bible, our God made your God. Whatever your worship, whatever you're worshiping, our God made your God. Our God made it. Our God did. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 10, 11, and 12. Now look in Jeremiah chapter number 32, verse number 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou, this is what the word of God says. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arms, and there is nothing too hard. Thank the Lord. There's nothing too hard for thee. Nothing. How about that? Whatever you're going through today, there's nothing too hard for God. The Bible says there's nothing. And that's the truth. If he can make the heaven and the earth, he can sure take care of anything that is happening in the heaven and on the earth. And it is clear that he made it according to that verse. Look at Psalm chapter number 89, verse number 11. The Bible says, the heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and for the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. Isn't that good? Not just the world, but in the fullness thereof. It is his. The heavens are his. The earth is his. All of this, listen to me, all of this is his property. It's his. Listen, the reason why you cannot find no joy, the reason why you can't find no peace, the reason why you can't find no happiness, the reason why you can't find none of that, not in a beer bottle, not in a blunt, not out in the streets, and I've been there. Not from your friends, not from a relationship. You cannot find real joy and peace because the God that created you, you're not living for him. He created you to serve him. That's why there's no peace and joy and hope in your life. That's why you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives you all of that. and you'll never have it. Not in this life or the life to come. If you don't get born again and serve Jesus, you'll never have that. Never have that. Look in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14. So, we know what we're talking about, okay? Let's look in Colossians 1, 14. The word of God says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How do we have redemption? Not through keeping the law, not through baptism, not through good works that we do. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's what he did, not that what we can do. Even the forgiveness of sins. This is, who's it talking about here? You know who it's talking about. It's talking about none other than Jesus Christ. The one that shed his blood. Who the Bible says is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This statement is he is God made visible. He is the image of the invisible God. Look in verse number 16. For by him, the Bible says, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And the Bible says, for him, just like I said. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he's even holding all this together. That's powerful to me. Isn't that? That's powerful. Who is God? He is the one that made everything, and everything belongs to him. That's why he can tell these people that say, I don't want anybody, that's for the weak, Christian people, for the weak. I don't want to be a Christian because it's for the weak. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Who's he? He created you. He's got the right to tell you what to do. The way this thing is set up, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to have real peace. Not saying that you can't have worldly love and you can't have worldly. I'm talking about real love and real peace and real joy. It's not found out here in this world. Believe me. He made everything. So all this belongs to him. You belong to him. He is your savior. He is the only savior you got. None of them other false gods or can save you. Okay. Look at John 1:4. The Bible says in him was life. So how does life, you know why you're alive? Because Jesus Christ. Life originates with Jesus Christ. The origin of life is not atoms. You understand that. The origin of life is not neutrons, it's not protons, it's not electrons. The origin of life is not a big bang. The Bible says in him was life. He's living before there is any planet. He's living before there was any galaxy. He's living before there's any pool of water or any kind of bird or any kind of life. Life starts with Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is life. He is life. There's nothing alive that did not get their life from Jesus Christ. And I know that's quite a statement, but that's a biblical fact. The Bible says, and the life. Now, look at this exclusive. And the life. There's no other. The life was the light of man. You see, W-A-S, was. The life was the light of man. So if you have life, if you have understanding, if you have knowledge, if you have intelligence, if you have a spiritual being within you, if you can grasp the simplest truth, that light was given to you by your Creator. And let's jump ahead for a second. Let's go down to verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So there's no one living that did not get their life from God. And there is no one living who has any comprehension of truth who did not get that comprehension from God. Listen to me, friend. You don't just, I wish people would get this. You do not obtain wisdom. You do not obtain knowledge. You do not obtain understanding and truth unless God reveals it to you. The Bible says in Job 11:7, canst thou by searching find out God? And the answer to that is obvious. The answer is no. God has to make himself known to you. He has to reveal himself to you. Now, a Calvinist would say, ah, see there. But the Bible says, but wait. He does that for everybody. Do you hear me, Calvinist friend? He does that to everybody. So that is the other side of the truth. But the truth is, if God did not reveal himself to you, you cannot find him. There's people born who have life, but they don't have understanding. Those who are born who do have understanding, and by that, I mean, they got the ability to communicate, the ability to reason, and the ability to think things through. They only have it because God gave it to them. You understand that? And those that use that understanding, they use that ability to reason and to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Even that is no merit on their part. Had God not sent his son, not sent a witness, not sent the Holy Spirit, not revealed truth to them, they never would have found him. So what he is saying in these four verses is everything that matters, that is good, that's right, that is blessed, and everything that is holy, it originates with God. It originates with God. God possessed it first, and what he did, God gave it to man. God possessed it first, and he gave it to his creation. Let's just say this. What if instead of creating angels, he just created devils? And he could have did that. What could you have done anything about that? You couldn't have done nothing about that. What if instead of just making heaven, he just made hell? Excuse me. You couldn't have done nothing about it. Couldn't have did nothing about it. You could live, listen. You can get to live a while like Job did for 36 chapters and then go to hell. Think about it. Think about living like Job did for 36 chapters and then when you die, you go to hell. Do you understand there's gods like that in the mythologies of the world? Fortunately, Our God is light. Our God is life. Look around you. Our God is beauty. Our God is grace. Our God is kindness. And this is what he's saying here. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and him was life. Not death, light. not darkness, good things, not bad things. Do you see, listen, do you see what he's setting up here? And everything you're going to see in the book of John underscores the truth. He's life. Men want death, but he is life. He is light. Men want darkness, but he is light. It's not God's fault that things are bad, okay? It's not God's fault that things go wrong. It's not God's fault that people are in hell. He's life. He is light. That is who God is. And I'm so thankful that's who my Savior, my Lord is. Look at verse 5. And that light shineth in darkness. That light is a bit more than the light at the end of the tunnel. That light shines in darkness. And the Bible says, and the darkness comprehended it not. Do you see what he's saying? If you're still listening to me, praise God. But do you see what he's saying? Everything that is evil, everything that is connected to death, everything connected to death, suffering, cruelty, hatred, bloodshed, and tears, it looks at this God and it don't understand him. I do not understand him. The self-righteous, proud sinner who is trying to work his way to heaven. He does not even understand it. The egotistical Pharisee, he does not understand it. He does not understand what? The fact that the only way that you're going to have life is if God gives it to you. The only way that you're going to have light is if God gives it to you. You can't earn it. You cannot, I don't care how much money you got. Other people may be impressed with your money, but God is not impressed with your money. You cannot buy your way to heaven, and you can't carry your money with you. What profit a man to gain the world and lose his own soul? You can't work for it. Your good outweighing your bad or trying to work for it, something that you can do, you cannot work for it. You can't fight for it. And to be honest with you, we don't even deserve it. But it comes from God. And that's what grace is. It all comes from God. James chapter number 17, this is it. I'm done. James chapter number 17 says, this is what the Bible says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So how many good gifts? What's the Bible say? Look in the beginning of James 1:17. Every good gift. How many perfect gifts? Every perfect gift. Where do you get it? The Bible says it comes down from above, from the Father of what? Look at that. The Father of what? Look. Lights. Anything good is from God. Okay? So that's the introduction to this book. The theme of the book. So what do we get? The theme of the book in the first 5 verses. What do we get? Jesus Christ created it, right? It all belongs to God, okay? Something went wrong, and then what happened? Darkness entered, but the light came and shone in the darkness. That is what the book is all about. So So glad that you tuned in to KJV Biblecast. I hope you enjoyed the introduction to the book of John, John chapter number 1. We took a look at the first 5 verses. Hope you stay tuned. Hope you continue to watch. If you would, please like, share, comment. It does help. It shows that all this work ain't going in vain, if you would. But I just want to thank, I'm thankful to be able to have this platform, to be able to do this. I hope this is a blessing and an encouragement to y'all. God bless y'all. Maranatha, and good day.